Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship with one game in the books. Started last weekend in Las Vegas with my good friend Justin McCord, who sits to my right here, and the trophy husband, who held down everything in Louisville and is joining us for tonight's September 14th podcast. The KFFSC rolls on to talk about winners, guys we're disappointed in, sleepers that woke up, and Fetch wants to talk about a variety of things in the desert. We'll get started tonight with what we led off with in tonight's MailChimp that went out today. The most common player on the successful teams in the top 10 from the main event is A.J. Dillon. Justin, you uncovered a very interesting stat about the Packers, what is thought of as the number two Packer running back.
Yeah, well, we talked about this. A.J. Dillon has played well and done well. He's done better in games where Aaron Jones has played. So he's less of a handcuff than he's more of a standalone player. And he was one of those favorites at our drafts in Cincinnati and at Caesars, where people were, targeting him as a player because he was a great somebody you could put in as an RB1, perhaps, if you punted the position for the first, say, right, three rounds, four rounds.
Well, he was a player that consistently was going in the drafts in Las Vegas in about the same position. Was a sixth, seventh round, Justin, about every, sometimes eighth, in that grouping there.
A little higher than that, but the FFPC is pushed down by the tight end position.
Right. Okay.
But the news about Lazard being out was also a little more well known than it was in our drafts here.
Right.
So that bumped him up a little bit more, okay, too. So maybe it's a wash.
Well, it's nevertheless, it's a good player that looks like that production will continue as we move through the meat of the Packers season. And when the Packer receivers start catching the Aaron Rodgers passes, we're going to see a lot more productivity out of the backfield with the right down and distance situations. Fetch, it didn't take long for your favorite head coach, Andy Reid, to start just where he left off, being successful. What I saw in the Kansas City game was a very, very healthy Patrick Mahomes, and it was nice to see it again. What I saw surprised me in the Kansas City game, and I think it had a great effect on the variety of wide receivers. You expect Mahomes to move it around. They are a talented roster. Nine players were targeted, I think, as many as over three times in the game. But what surprised me was the two and three tight end sets, and I was not expecting that. Commentary about any and all things Kansas City, Fetch.
Well, the good thing is I think he had running back production. The darling of the draft, Isaiah Pacheco.
Close enough.
Found the end zone. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who everybody was sleeping on this year. I know I played him in a couple weeks this year and, got two touchdowns out of him. And I think we're going to see a lot of production from him this year.
You had to love that little underhanded scoop pass that went to him. That was one of my favorite plays of the weekend. Did Juju Smith-Schuster satisfy you, Fetch, that he is the go-to receiver out of the slot when you, after Kelce, he's going to get the lion's share of the targets in Kansas
City? I think he'll be second in target share. I do not have a big share of Juju in most of my teams this year. I think I have in a keeper league. And the big thing was, I don't think you're going to see a alpha receiver there. It is going to be more of the spread method, and I want someone in that area where we're drafting. Juju went in the fourth, fifth round. I wanted somebody that had a chance to be a top level wide receiver in that spot.
I see consistency throughout the year for Smith-Schuster, and it'll be touchdown related, and we'll get to see that throughout the season and see how that works out. Anything about the tight ends being on the field that you saw, Fetch? That was a new wrinkle for me.
Again, Andy's always going to change. He's always going to find new and inventive ways to get his best players. You can hide that. You can't really hide Travis Kelce, but you can do things with him with the multiple tight end sets to move him around to hopefully find his favorite target, because that's still going to be the bulk of what Patrick wants to do.
Who's the matchup tomorrow night, Fetch?
It is the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Los Angeles Chargers. What a fun fantasy night that's going to be, watching Herbert battle Mahomes.
Herbert came out really good, Justin. Were you surprised that Austin Eckler was only on the field for about 52% of the offensive snaps of the Chargers?
No, I think they were caught off guard by how well things were going in other areas. I mean, Herbert, everyone knew he was going to take a step forward. He did take a step forward. We would have liked to have seen maybe more to Mike Williams. I'll just throw that out there.
It's always that way. It always seems to be that way.
But this is talk about DeAndre Carter coming in.
What do you know about DeAndre?
Well, I mean, he's a great slot receiver, but everyone assumed there was I can't recall one draft I was in where he was taken.
No, and he shouldn't have been. And that Fetch, I think, is it's something about the lack of the preseason games, because I think Carter would have risen to some notability if we had had more preseason games. Now, I admire this player because he's a blue-collar player that's worked hard to get in the league, and he's never had these opportunities. And now he gets an early week game on a short week. Keenan Allen is not here for this game. You would have to think both Williams and Carter have big games for the Chargers tomorrow night. Fetch, how would you handle in free agency, and FFPC free agency is already run, our free agency goes off at midnight, how would you handle Carter? Has he played well enough for you to say they're going to find a way to use this guy and get him the ball, or is he just a fill-in player for Keenan Allen, although a very capable fill-in player?
You know, I'm not going to spend a lot of money on him because it's only a one-week type injury. They will find ways to get him the ball some, but there's this coach speak word that I'm hearing so much out of coaches about, oh, this is matchup oriented, or we found a matchup. You know, we're going to talk about that later with Irv Smith and the tight end position and everything else. And sometimes in a game, especially when you got a quarterback like Justin Herbert, who is maturing, but I mean, before our eyes, he's just getting better and better. They find these matchups where they're getting single coverage, or, you know, the focus is on a Mike Williams taking away the deep route or whatever else. And they find, you know, I always used to talk about Peyton Manning and Austin Collie and that type of guy. They can find these guys, these little matchups in the game where they can win against a weaker corner or a weakness in the defense, and they can really exploit it on a week basis. But that doesn't mean it's going to be duplicated week after week.
Well, they were up 14 at halftime. And, you know, the Raiders came back and made it look a little closer than it really was. But if this offense is able to play like that, and with the complementary defense that the Chargers are able to play, if they can have leads like this going through the first half of games, you know, we're not going to see maybe some of the prolific fantasy scoring that we'd like out of some of these
guys. And the good thing that we saw also from, if you happen to be a Charger fan, the good thing we saw is competent special teams play for them for the first time in a long time. Fellas, neither of you addressed it, so I'll go ahead and address it. Austin Eckler, a player that the team has decided perhaps that they're going to have him in for the long run. So if you were in the sixth and seventh spot, drafted Austin Eckler, expecting opportunities for 20 touchdowns like you had last year, multiple catches, a lot of work, you're going to get enough work forthcoming real soon. I'm kind of like Justin in the aspect of, you know, if you've got a 14-point lead, let Eckler get out there and bring the game home for you. That necessarily didn't happen. Maybe we'll see more of that this weekend. We don't want to leave the Raiders without commentary about what Devontae Adams did. How much did either of you see of that game? Let's start with Justin.
I saw most of that game.
And what were your thoughts about how the offense for the Raiders was running? Because while it was natural to want to target Adams, I got the feeling that at certain times that ball was being forced. Fetch, did you come away with any of that?
I definitely thought they were forcing
17 targets.
Yeah. Especially when you've got very good tight end and Hunter Renfrow, who can also get advantages in play. I can't imagine. That almost seemed like a force feeding, and it's going to be something that Derek's going to have to kind of ease into the year and understand that he's got to use all these weapons, which will make Devontae even better if the focus is not on him all the time.
So Fitch is throwing around those first names again, yeah. Justin.
So Renfrow has six targets. Waller has six targets.
Uh-huh.
Devontae Adams with 17.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was a little much.
What happened to Amir Abdullah?
That was a little.
What happened with that being the running back then, and everyone, you know, we saw him written in on so many draft boards this past weekend and the weekend before.
Foolishness yeah. personified with the right ends of Amir Abdullah, although he used a lot of Sharpies to get that Amir Abdullah. You know, you get him on the draft board, doesn't mean he's going to get in the lineup. I think Fetch.
Josh McDaniels owns stock in the Sharpie company.
I think Fetch predicted that you're going to get a little bit of that New England backfield. It was Brandon Bolden. Now, I'll take this away from that game. Adams was fantastic for fantasy players. The Raiders will play better football as we move on. But Carr laid a beautiful pass right on the money into his tight end over the defender, hitting him in stride down the middle of the field. We hope we see more of that as this season moves on. Guys, so you went into waiver wires. Do you spend a little more money early?
Yes.
And
it's dumb not to.
Yeah. Well, how much? I think it's dumb to spend $500 on Curtis Samuel. But I don't know if that – but I admire Curtis Samuel. I drafted him in most of the teams. Drafted him more early than I did late. I just checked the FFPC waivers, and I thought I put some bids in on a couple of players that I thought were competitive, and nowhere near got the players. So
this is what I would like to ask Justin. Coming off last year, where we had such late bloomers, not necessarily because they're younger guys, but they got healthy and got an opportunity. If you were able to pick up a Rashard Penny late, or the Amon St. Brown, or somebody like that.
Yeah, those are good guys
that
to pick up late, and they help you feel better about yourself because you feel you made a good decision. But it doesn't matter because you were out of the playoff hunt anyway.
Us quality players.
Are you sure about that, Justin?
Yeah.
Assume we're going. Those
first
are the kind
of all,
guys that.
Here's the thing about that: you don't need to save that money. No one goes for $300 late in the season. That's a myth. All right. Everyone saves up their money in the hopes that there will be this pearl out there to grab and it's going to change their fortunes, and it doesn't happen. These guys, the reason why they're league winners is not because you pick them up late and they go on like a 3-week burn through the playoffs. It's because they make the difference in making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. And that happens when you get them early.
All right, Justin, then who was your number one guy you wanted to spend money on?
This week it would be Curtis Samuel if I didn't already have him, because wide receivers are so important here. He had four rushes, 11 targets when he caught eight of them and a touchdown. Even without the touchdown, it's a great week. Now, if you went a little early on running back in your draft, or you did the no-no of drafting a quarterback and a tight end close together, then you were obviously hurting at the wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this, and maybe you had Robinson, or you had Darnell Mooney, or you had somebody that underperformed in week one, and you're worried.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great player who has been – Ron Rivera liked in Carolina enough to bring him over to Washington. He was not healthy last year. He's healthy now. Mm-hmm.
And
he's the number one receiver
this,
on this team.
We beat this drum, and the player was – it was surprising to me that the player wasn't drafted more than he was. Okay, here's some guys.
But just one more thing to add. You spend $500 on Curtis Samuel before week two, or you spend $200 on Rashad Penny in week 12. Yeah. When you amortize that over the weeks,
you're going to get more points
right.
on Samuel. Yeah. Obviously.
You've been smart with the money.
You know, I felt smart by not drafting some guys this year. these guys, I don't make a do not draft list, but it becomes one in my head. I just don't deal with these players and the multiple teams that I have. I have zero interest in the following players. Cam Akers.
This is, by the way, helpful information now that everyone has already drafted.
Yeah. Well, you know, I talked about it. I talked about it on this podcast, which we unfortunately couldn't have as often as we wanted. Balky and I talked about it every Friday night. Cam Akers, in trying to stay positive, I just said I like Henderson better. Allen Robinson, no way. Mooney doesn't have a quarterback that can get him the ball regularly. Cole Kmet, I don't even want to get started there. Okay, but here's some guys that I do like that didn't produce week one either. The famous Robert Woods and Bobby Trees in Tennessee. Devonta Smith, who I spent draft picks on this year and had him in one of my lineups. He just loved getting that goose egg. Pierce, the wide receiver out of Cincinnati, number two guy there in Indianapolis, who has some concussion issues that they later announced in the game and dropped a touchdown pass where he had at least 3 yards separation from his defender, and Matt Ryan hit him right in the hands. Naturally, I like the tight end Pitts. He will perform better later. And I want to add to the player that I have nowhere, Irv Smith. Defend any of these players fetch that you want. Of those players that I said can't play, I know you're a big fan of Allen Robinson. Are you still after watching Thursday night's game?
I am still up on Allen Robinson. You make fun of me for talking about it. He's a great player. He has a history of doing it with lesser quarterbacks.
Okay.
He will do it. Buffalo is very zone oriented. Allen Robinson is there to win matchups in the man to man game. The smaller slot guys who are shifty really worked well against that Buffalo defense. They're going to have matchups later in the year where Allen Robinson will be targeted and will have a good year. You know, we talk about Devontae Adams getting all those targets. Obviously, Cooper Kupp's going to get number one target share. There's no doubt about that. But Allen Robinson is going to firmly fit into that number two spot and be a fine, fine season for the Rams.
The Buffalo pass rush also had a lot to do with how far Robinson could maybe get downfield. There was tremendous pressure in that game. The Ram team looked to me like they weren't ready to play. We can put our Chicago Bears conversations aside until they play a game in real weather. Let's talk about what happened down in Tennessee with Robert Woods. I saw very little of that game. There were things I loved about what happened towards the end of the game with the New York Giants, but Justin, you got any input on Robert Woods?
I think he's a receiver on a new team coming off a tremendous knee injury. Uh-huh. And more was expected of him than should have been. Now, I know it's early, but that's a lot.
Okay. Well, Burks had three catches. Woods had one. I have a bet with FFPC player and good friend and contributor to the podcast, David Tripoli. And it is that Woods will out-receive Burks in number of receptions. And I'm behind 3-1, and we'll watch that all year because that's nothing more important to me than winning.
I know you hate me bringing up coaching stuff, but what the heck was Vrabel doing in Tennessee at the end of game?
Well, you tell me, Fetch, because no one really can
It was a baffling week in coaching decisions, whether it be Nathaniel Hackett and his 64-yard field goal. Are the Titans wasting a timeout late in the game?
They've done that all along, and they've done it for years. And what do they call that? It is systemic to their organization. And I'd like all the listeners to know that I do not make fun of Fetch saying that the guy's a great player. But you got to have more to like than just being a great player. And I think Fetch, you broke down the Allen Robinson very, very well. Let's go talk about these matchup situations Irv Smith. Now, you're talking about matchup situations at a tight end position, a player that should be key to the offense. But guess what? The only key to the offense that Minnesota needs to make work is at Justin Jefferson's wide receiver position, Dalvin Cook's running back position. I think Irv Smith has been overprepped, overblown, and was a waste of a draft pick. Anyone want to defend Irv Smith?
It's an interesting game. They blew out the Packers.
Yeah.
I don't know that Irv Smith was needed. Not every game's going to be like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's a little concerning that he didn't, you know, catch a ball. But
again, matchup with the tight end, sometimes you're left into a you're left into block more to, mm-hmm. for protection. They got ahead big. Inexplicably,
it's a long day match here.
But what I'm going to say, they pointed out on the game coverage in a end of half situation, a Tennessee defensive back jumped Irv Smith to leave Justin Jefferson wide open, which makes no sense. Bad coaching by the secondary coach there in Green Bay. Why? And I guess if they were keyed in on Irv Smith, someone ought to tell them they have this guy named Justin Jefferson who can catch the ball.
Someone ought to also tell the Indianapolis Colts that the season starts the weekend after Labor Day, and that's when they need to show up. The Indianapolis Colts inexplicably let a game get away.
Ed, but they made the best decision of the year. They finally realized you don't have to have your kicker look cool. You need a kicker that can make some kicks and crunch time.
Was there something about that kid that looks cool?
Oh, yeah. He had this cool look with the goggle look.
Goggles are cool, Fetch. Yeah.
For a kicker, they are. How many kickers you know that wear goggles?
All I know about kickers is that the great Peyton Manning in his commentary about Vanderjack years ago speaks volumes for the kicker position.
The most amazing thing happened this week, though.
What?
A safety came in and had a kickoff that he kicked through the uprights.
Fantastic. Kid had good aim.
And he could make an extra point that other teams needed to win a game.
I'm coaching that team, I'm going to put that safety on the field to kick off every time, because now I've got 11 running down to make a tackle. I don't have 10 because of the kicker will be on the bench. We've got to talk about Breece Hall, guys. Now, Justin informed me all too late, I might add, but Justin informed me while we were in Las Vegas that Breece Hall was essentially given the backup running back duties for the New York Jets. And it was announced that Michael Carter was the go-to guy. And let me tell you, he played like it. He looked good. He looked impressive. Michael Carter, that made him a steal in the drafts, because I don't think a lot of people heard about this. He was a double-digit pick while I was sitting at the table in Las Vegas. If I'd heard that tidbit of information, I would have moved Mark Carter up at least 2 years.
Well, I made sure I grabbed him, but I wish I had started him. Now, he hit 10 carries, 60 yards.
But seven, it's the catches. It's
seven receptions. Well, look, he had 9 targets, caught 7 of them, but Breece Hall had 10 targets mm-hmm. and only caught 6 of them. Mm-hmm. So there's still hope. I was so disappointed when Breece Hall was selected by the Jets.
Yeah, it let some air out.
I knew – you know, he was the running back everybody was focusing on. And Carter had such a good rookie year where he got better throughout the year. And I was really looking forward to see what he would do this year, and I thought he wouldn't get the chance, and now he is, and that's great.
Yeah, you know what? The guy's getting the chance, and it's great. This weekend, Fetch, slow down. This weekend, we got some guys to get a chance. It's only an hour show, Fetch.
But
all right, go ahead.
The running back situation is it's so interesting. There was a great conversation on the Peyton Eli cast where Shannon Sharp was basically saying, why are they just rotating Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams? It was driving people crazy that Javonte Williams is having such a good game, getting in a rhythm, and every series they're rotating him out with Melvin Gordon. And it's befuddling former players. You know it befuddles fantasy football owners that we don't know what to do with these teams.
First of all, you start Williams and you start Gordon. They're the same. They will carry the ball the same amount in a team that loves to run the
Gordon didn't have a bad game.
No, Gordon had an excellent game. And Gordon, because when he's When Williams isn't out there, Gordon is out there. When Williams isn't out there, he's going to likely have a better fourth quarter fetch. It's, you know, ex-players that have put a microphone in front of them are kind of like us. Sometimes they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Let's try to get some guys in fetch that are going to get a chance this weekend for either expanded roles, or it looks like they're finally getting the chance with the team that they've needed all along. Gerald Everett, our guy Boyd up here in Cincinnati. Cordarrelle Patterson, it looks like we're going to have more of the same. And I understand that Antonio Gibson wasn't going to get much play. But you know what? He sure the hell did this past Sunday.
Well, when the guy in front of you gets shot, that will happen.
No, Justin, I don't think that was a situation. Fetch, any of these players you want to talk about?
I'm just laughing because of the breaking news. Somebody got shot.
Gerald
Everett. I mean, we thought this was going to happen last year.
Last year.
We thought it was going to happen in Seattle.
Yeah.
It seems now he finally has the spot. Now, it hurt that Keenan Allen went down, I think. And, you know, he gets this trust with Justin Herbert. I think he could be a top 10 tight end going forward.
Yeah, it looks great. Boyd in Cincinnati, is he a must-start this weekend with Higgins on the bench, if that's the way it works out?
I believe so, yes. Every time it seems like either Higgins or Chase go out, Boyd comes into that second spot. And he, again, without a tight end, you know, Hayden Hurst looked okay for them.
He looked very good.
But there's still a lot of touchdowns that C.J. Uzuma got last year that are up for grabs there in the middle of the field.
Very good. Justin, a highly drafted rookie running back, Tyler Allgeier, whatever your pronunciation, we got to learn the right one. At least I do. Did not get a jersey on Sunday.
Right.
He was on the five-man inactive list. Cordarrelle Patterson continued to play much in the way that he did last year, and then there was a problem with one of the other running backs getting a little banged up, and Patterson's role was extended and expanded. Patterson, as I recall, was being drafted in the 9th or 10th round. Could this guy be a league winner if he just continues to do what he did last year?
I mean, look, he's a strong RB2 or flex play.
Uh-huh.
But look, Mariota rushed for 72 yards and a touchdown too. He's there. I think he's going to be a great play this week against the Rams. They're going to be playing from behind. They're going to throw the ball a lot to him. He does well with that. But no, I don't know that he's going to be what I would call a league winner, no.
You bring up something very interesting in Mariota. Fetch, I want to ask you about it. I made the prediction that Mariota would finish as a top 10 fantasy quarterback, and everybody left. But I think in that situation that he's finally landed somewhere. With the kind of the coaching and kind of team that he can make something happen with from a fantasy number perspective, always playing behind. Your thoughts on Mariota, or did you want to expand?
No, I would like to. Well, I'm expanding on the whole Atlanta thing. I think we need to see a little more of Atlanta because it's a new offense. So what that means is not only do we need to see them, but defenses are now going to get to see how they're going to play. And I think as the year goes along, they will adjust and kind of shut down Mariota in the running game a little bit. But the biggest thing, Mariota, if your dream of him becoming a top 10 quarterback, he needs to introduce himself to one Kyle Pitts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find a way to get that gentleman.
Well, you go over to Shannon Sharp and Eli and Peyton, and maybe they will be able to talk about why we weren't getting there. Let's take a break, guys. And come back. Let's talk a little bit about what went on down in Tennessee and some of the injuries that we're facing after week one. Welcome back, everyone, in our second half of our podcast tonight, opening week season. We're getting a little crosstalk. And anyone that's ever seen me facilitate a league knows that we don't care for crosstalk. And we especially don't care for crosstalk here at the podcast. Now,
you know, Fetch helps me facilitate the auction.
Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh. We've seen, and you do a great job, by the way.
And
we promote crosstalk.
I helped out in Las Vegas. There was an FFPC $2,500 auction that needed an auctioneer.
Yeah.
So I went to help out.
You got called up.
It was myself and two models. And more than one person commented that the two models was an improvement over Fetch.
I would think so. I would hope so. I would think so. They look better. They smell better. They wear heels better. You know, come on.
I've heard some good movies start that way, Justin. Justin McCord and two models. We're at it.
I don't know how you got those movies, Fetch, but I demand you return them.
Oh, yeah, Fetch. You're going to have to. You don't have time to watch movies. Guys, you know, I can understand why there is crosstalk. Alert Kevin Williamson and Jimmy Johnson, but the bar is open. Everyone is having a cocktail or a beer tonight.
Or a tea from Cinnabon.
Except the commissioner, who's living at the foot of the cross after his most recent trip to Las Vegas. Someone that is has to be living at the foot of the cross and looking for redemption and looking for any way to get out of the mess that he seems to have dug himself into is one coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Never a favor to Fetch. And from a fantasy football implication, there's a lot of for us to talk about here. But can this team with Kyler Murray and James Conner and receiver help on the way from DeAndre Hopkins, Fetch, by the time does Hop get back, does he have a new head coach?
I don't think he'll have a new head coach, but it'll be on the brink. By week seven, they're going to be 2-4. And in that tough division, they're going to be behind the eight ball. The offense didn't look good. Kyler Murray threw for less than 200 yards. I don't know if it's just because he's standing beside Kyler Murray, but I will say that James Conner looks thick this year, big. And I do think he needs to because he's going to have to handle a huge workload. And the way to success for the Cardinals is going to be through James Conner in the running game because I just do not see that passing game taking off until DeAndre Hopkins is back.
Zach Ertz continues to be a middle-of-the-road tight end in that offense, good, bad, or indifferent. Zach Ertz helps us in fantasy ball. He's still a top-10 tight end.
He is. He's on that lower level of the top 10, but he's definitely playable.
Very good. Justin, one of the things I saw that really intrigued me in the Tennessee Giant game, which I didn't see a lot of it, but towards the end, I looked at Saquon Barkley's stat line and was just so pleased to see that a player of that caliber is back doing what he needs to do. And I took a look then to see immediately the quarterback, Jones, threw one of the worst passes into double coverage that Barkley had no chance to catch. The only way it could keep from being intercepted was that the two defenders went to fight for the same ball. That didn't happen. It was an interception. What then happened was Daboll on the bench got in the face of his quarterback, sought him out, found him on the bench, gave him what looked to be all kinds of hell. And then when they got the ball back, he put the game in his quarterback's hands on several very impressive plays, including a 4th-and-1 when everybody thought Barkley would take it and Daniel Jones went around in. There's a lot of involvement in fantasy draft capital that went into the New York Giants this year. Barkley, Wandell Robinson. One, Barkley looks like a big positive investment. Wandell Robinson here at the KFFSC had worked up to the 8th and 9th round, hurt in the first game. Your commentary about anything going on with the New York Giants?
Well, they're getting it right. They know that Barkley's the guy, and they will win or lose by his performance. You will not look at this team and say that Barkley had a down game and they were able to overcome it. If another opposing defense successfully keys and shuts down Barkley or holds him to, say, 70 yards and 10 fantasy points, this team will lose every game that's like that.
Kadarius Toney, Fetch, a weird application of this player's skill set. I think all of us were expecting more.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say he's not to Andy Reid, but the coach.
I'm going to say we know that no one is Andy Reid. The head coach's name is Brian Daboll.
Daboll. I got to pronounce it correctly. But he is going to. We're going to find out if this quarterback. He's had rough times. He's had bad coaching. Joe Judge just did not do it the right way. We're going to find out if this guy is primed up. J. Giants aren't going to playoffs this year, but they are going to be much better. Their offense is definitely going to be better because the coach runs a good playbook, has a player, knows how to get Barkley involved. And then an old favorite of yours, Sterling Sharp, Sterling Shepard shows up for
that old.
Shows up for a touchdown for us in this game. And they've got a plethora of wide receivers that can do different things. So you're going to have a variance of targets almost every week. And if Kadarius Toney cannot get out on the field or can't stay healthy, other guys are going to play.
Well, I think he was healthy. It was just odd that the ball didn't go his way and that there wasn't a lot called for him. I think we'll see more of Toney. And I don't know what with Shepard. Shepard is obviously a favorite of this coach.
Well, Shepard caught two balls.
And Shepard is relied on by the coach to help put together that locker room. And I did get, and I want to thank everyone in the KFFSC world for all their many, many text calls and Facebook posts wishing me a happy birthday, including one from Sherry Shepard, Sterling's mom. So we move on. Now, let me ask you about this, Justin McCord. Mm-hmm. There's a quarterback. You used to play at Indianapolis. Nobody was very interested in what was happening with the wide receivers. They said, "Yeah, you know, I'll draft that player, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Carson Wentz." Carson Wentz comes out, has a fantastic game, scores well in fantasy, not a player that's rostered often throughout the KFFSC. Are we going to turn the waiver wire report sometime early in the morning and see that Carson Wentz is added to a lot of teams?
He should be. I mean, people who have Trey Lance or, I don't know, maybe Stafford or Rodgers are going to need a second option, or maybe they're looking and seeing that the second option they have is not great. Of course, yeah, hopefully most people know you should only draft one quarterback. I saw a lot of people drafting two or three, which is insane. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, look, Wentz was great last year fantasy-wise and was on the waiver wire late into the season. And it was teams with Wentz and Carr, either late drafted or undrafted quarterbacks who were doing well in the playoffs.
So you guys saw no Curtis Samuels in the lineup this week. Did you see any Jahan Dotsons in the lineup, Fetch?
No, I did not.
Will you see one this coming weekend?
You will. You will. But here's the interesting thing about Wentz, and you kind of ride that horse. Yes, he's successful fantasy-wise, but part of the reason he's successful fantasy-wise is he'll be good, throw a couple touchdowns. Then he'll throw a couple to the other team, which keeps them in the game.
He did that this weekend.
Which
Stafford does the same thing, though. Mm-hmm.
And a guy named Derek Carr threw more picks than touchdowns this past week. So, yeah.
You need a gunslinger.
Defenders are out there. They're making plays on the ball. Guys, let's talk about injuries. Fetch, you go first. What was the most devastating injury to fantasy drafters?
The most devastating one to me is Elijah Mitchell. Mm. I do not have him because as I texted you in our group chat with Fenton and Justin and Jeff Joaquin, there is something in the water in the running back room in San Francisco. Whether it's Raheem Mostert or Mitchell – whoever they hand the ball off, if they carry it more than one or two games straight, they get hurt.
It's a sad, sad situation. Elijah looks so good running the ball. Jeff Wilson now gets his shot, and I'll remind everybody, Jeff Wilson had two 100-yard games at the end of the season last year, and he's put together good games in his career. There's a waiver wire pickup named Mason. What's the first name, Justin?
Jordan.
Jordan Mason is a player that he's probably going to bring some good money on the waiver wire. We liked him at Georgia Tech. And, you know, here we are in the second week with already a running back showing up and available. Let's go to Dallas and talk about Dak Prescott. I really enjoyed the opening of that Cowboy game. The game was a little flat. But what I enjoyed about it seeing was Ezekiel Elliott and how he was moving. And he averaged over 5 yards a carry. Pollard did well running the ball, too. The team struggled. They struggled passing the ball. Lamb had a horrific night. And only in the late situations did Dalton Schultz put up points, which made him a quality fantasy start at tight end. Guys, what is going to happen? Who is going to be adversely affected? Will they lean on Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard in the running game? Will Schultz do better? How will Fetch break it down to me? What do you see happening over these weeks without Dak Prescott?
I think it'll hurt the whole offense. I think Zeke will be hurt the worst because now teams will be able to key in on him because they're not going to worry about Cooper Rush. I do think CeeDee Lamb may get a bump. I know a lot of people think that's crazy, but you notice backup quarterbacks come in.
Yep.
They seem to really focus on their number one guy much more. So I think you'll see more targets for CeeDee Lamb. And again, a tight end is always that comfort too. So I think Dalton Schultz could be okay as well. But I think it really hurts that running game. And this was the number one offense just that what, last year, and the number one offense 2 years ago? I mean, but they had all kinds of receivers. This is a passing game, and they kind of let Amari Cooper go. Michael Gallup got hurt, and now you're out there seeing an undrafted free agent.
Cedric Wilson at Miami.
Now, yeah, and an undrafted free agent was their number two starting wide receiver this week.
Well, and I think it's commentary on both quarterbacks that are on the roster right now were put through waivers, and no one claimed them. Mm-hmm. And that's unusual when you've invested years like they've invested in Cooper Rush. It's unusual that an NFC East opponent wouldn't just pick them up to say, hey, let's get in that quarterback's head and talk to him about what's going on down in Dallas. So I'm hopeful. I've got plenty of Zeke shares because I was able to get them with what I considered a discount, and I was very happy with the way he ran the ball. If they stack it up, Zeke's going to have to do it through the passing, and so is Pollard. Keenan Allen, it's a hamstring, right, Fetch?
Yeah.
So, you know, that can be troubling throughout throughout the season, especially for a guy with as many years' experience as Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen, we admire and we hope he returns. DeAndre Carter, which we talked about earlier, Joshua Palmer, Williams. How much does that hurt the Charger team, which is a 4-point underdog against the Chiefs tomorrow night?
I don't think it hurts them as much as you would think, just because of this maturity that Herbert has been using to find all his openings. I still think the Chiefs cover this week against them, but I think they would have did that with Keenan Allen anyway, going into a short week at Kansas City against Andy Reid. I think that's a place Kansas City always does well in those situations. But again, I think with Herbert's maturity, him being able to really focus on the field and find those weaknesses in the defense, he doesn't care who's out there, what receiver, he's going to throw it to the open guy.
Justin, you have any prediction that counters what Fetch is saying about what we can expect tomorrow?
No, I mean, Herbert was one of the most efficient quarterbacks in week one. He was 26 out of 34. I mean, you talk back to Dallas. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was targeted 9 times and caught 2 balls.
Yeah. Well, you know what Herbert's numbers are? Those are Geno Smith numbers. Well,
yeah.
Geno Smith kind of stuff right there, buddy.
When you have that, then it's easy to plug and play these receivers that you have and put them in and not suffer as much.
I have to give credit to FPI, who all main event weekend told me that my zero quarterback strategy could work if I drafted Geno Smith. Mm-hmm. And they were right. If I'd have drafted Geno Smith, I may have went 8-0 instead of just 6-2.
FPI is right about almost everything fantasy football, and they're good judges of character. That's one of the things I love about them is you know, they can break down individuals and tell you what, you know, they can look deep into the soul of an individual and tell you what's in there. So, you know, those are some of the things that I like about FBI. I also like the fact that I got to see them in Vegas, and I knew where they were because they never left the draft room. They were consistently in the draft room, and I hope that when the season shakes out that they have teams all over that thing winning, because they deserve it, because nobody really works harder at this hobby than FBI. I'm ashamed at my level of devotion to it in compared to theirs. Guys, let's talk a little bit about the main event. It was a blast for me here. It seemed to go rather well. It seemed that everyone had a very good time. No one got sick, and no one got into any disrespect or arguments with everyone. It was just pretty cool weekend. Any suggestions, commentary, anything going forward?
I'm still thinking about my Vegas stuff. It was a great, great weekend. I thought the drafts went by quick, faster than I expected. I love the pop-up draft idea. I think that's a great idea. Looking forward to more of those. It's over and all. It's well done.
No, I had great comments on you guys doing the auction, and then Bobby Butterfield came and picked up where you guys left off and made wonderful contribution. One of the things that, and we saw this a little bit at the FFPC where you leaned on some of the players that were not busy drafting, and John Anderson facilitated a draft of mine, and I really enjoyed seeing him do that. You stepped up and did an auction, but so many guys, and you know that all of you saw him through the weekend, especially Pat Graff and his son, young Graff, mm-hmm. stepped up. Zach is a hell of a kid, and they stepped in and did those drafts. James Bednar, right off the plane from flying all night, walks in and drafts and then facilitates too. You know, Jeff Joaquin helping out. It was just a great weekend.
It was a great weekend for, I think everybody, you know, knows the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship throws a premier event, great food. My friend Dan DeGrillo, it's his first time. He was so impressed. He was so impressed with how everything went. I enjoyed facilitating, enjoyed meeting some new people, met Chris Ballard, who's very interesting, wears a Tampa jersey. I said, you're supposed to be the GM in the Colts. What are you doing wearing a Bucs jersey? Talked to Lee Renfro as he drafted. It's very interesting to see people's different strategy. Thought he had drafted a great team. So just seeing everybody, how much fun they have.
Well, that's great to turn around and see most of these people in Las Vegas. You know, I had one draft where about half of us had also drafted in Kentucky.
Yeah, and that was a big, big blast to realize that more of the guys are coming this way that we then see in Las Vegas. You know, I met Lynn Renfro's brother in Las Vegas, and that was another quality guy. Those Renfro guys are good fellas. I just wanted to finish up the commentary on that we have a very good time. We will be back before next August. We'll be back for Super Bowl weekend. We're going to adjust some of the drafts that we're going to offer on Super Bowl weekend. Saturday and Sunday of Super Bowl weekend, we'll be drafting and then have our viewing party. And Fetch, I got to tell a story on you. All those people lining up to contribute at the Fantasy Football Weekend and do the facilitating. And I'm looking for two facilitators. I'm counting. I know some guys, you know, Rich Bates left and took Mr. Rose and Mr. Hawkey to the airport early, and there was one of my facilitators go to the door. And Justin, I look up, and there is Fetch being led or leading down the path, J.R. Fenton, and they're both leaving. And if I hadn't saw that blue Colts jersey, I wouldn't have caught it. But I caught it out of the corner of my eye. I said, Fetch, where are you going? It's your time to step up. And J.R. and Fetch did come back and do their job. And apparently they were snaking their way through the crowd to get to the casino floor to play craps. If only they had been with us in Las Vegas. They're renaming the craps table there at the Virgin Hotel and Casino in Vegas as the Justin McCord.
I was also deemed the professor at the Palms.
You were deemed the professor at the Palms, so we had a good run on that. Listen, it's always a good run when we can get together with Justin McCord and Robbie Fetcher. There's a lot of things we want to talk about. We'll get to them next week. We want to send condolences to our wonderful friend and champion, J.A. Carey, who lost his mother this week. J.A., on our mind. And as he says goodbye to his mom, Martha, a wonderful lady, and we'll look forward to supporting him through this time. We'll look forward to our time that we'll have together during Super Bowl, and we'll be back in touch with all of you real soon.
Shout out to our leaders, Kirby and Melissa Barker.
Oh, yes.
Hey.